The altar again, set me on fire, set me on fire. All I have in these hands and multiply, God, all that I am, and find my heart on the altar again, set me. Send me on fire.
Here I am.
Here I am.
Power at work in me.
On the inside of us, God. Let us seek you first, God. Lord, I pray that you would delight on the inside of us, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, God. We worship your name, Jesus.
Let praises rise from the inside, from the inside.
For you to be close. be lifted high in our world. Be lifted high in our love. Be lifted.
Welcome you this morning to Calvary Gospel Church. Well, this is your first time at church or tuning into church, or whether this is your 100th time, welcome. Today's Mother's Day 2020, and we're celebrating at Calvary Gospel Church, and we're going to take some moments to honor, to encourage, and to challenge mothers. If you've been here before, our normal Mother's Day service, everybody's here, and we do a drawing, and we give out probably 10 or 12 flowers and big flower bundles, and the ladies get to take them home. We give out 10 or 12 packages of cupcakes, and if your name is drawn, it's super exciting, and everybody's clapping. And because of the situations we're going through right now, that didn't seem as feasible as we normally could. So this year, we won't be doing the gifts, but it will be definitely coming back next year. But instead today, I want to offer you some encouragement and a challenge. First, I want to thank you, moms, for everything you do, for giving so much of yourselves to your children, your husband, and your community, for endeavoring to live a godly life and teaching your children to do the same. I could spend the whole service telling you how awesome you are and how essential your role is. I could tell you that we love and we appreciate you. I could tell you that you're doing better than you think you are and that you're appreciated. But you and I both know that some random guy on a Sunday morning one time per year is not going to make you believe that. You and I both know that reading some books confirming and validating all you do and how great you are might help at a time and for a season, but ultimately will not make you feel fulfilled and validated. No, only Jesus can truly show you how valuable you are. Only he can give you the grace and the mercy that you need in the moments that you need it. Only Jesus can understand your heart. He loves you unconditionally. I'll say it again. He loves you unconditionally, without condition, regardless. In your high moments and in your low moments. In your strong moments and in your weak moments. So let me tell you what God thinks of you today. He loves you. And nothing you can do can separate you from God's love. He cares for you. And he wants you to give all your cares to him. He has great plans for you to bless you and give you life more abundantly. His mercies are new every single morning for you. His grace is enough for you. And he sees you as his workmanship, something that he's created, that he's proud of, that he prepared beforehand that you would do good works. I'll tell you, moms, on Mother's Day, there's no final level of motherhood. You never arrive. Instead, you learn to rely more and more on Jesus. I want to encourage you this morning that regardless of what you hear in your head, or what your friends or family or society might be telling you, or what you read on Facebook or in the blog posts and all this YouTube videos, regardless of all of that, God loves you. And he's so proud of you. You're his daughter and he wants to treat you as such. And so from me and the pastoral staff at Calvary Gospel Church and the small grouping of people here, we just want to say happy Mother's Day. And we really hope that your day is filled with fun and maybe some goofiness and some maybe a couple serious notes and hopefully a hug from a child here or there. So with that said, I want to roll into some quick announcements. The way the service is going to work this morning is I'll do a couple quick announcements. We have a short video. We're going to have Brother Ben Thompson speak. We're super excited about that. And then at the end, I'm going to close with a prayer and a little bit of encouragement for all the moms and the families. So with that said, for giving, some people have been asking, and we continue to post it, but there's multiple giving options. If you would like to give, you can mail it in to 5301 Commercial Avenue. That's the address here at the church. You can give online at cgcmadison.org. That works really, really smoothly. And also you can text, and just text the keyword. If there's something specific you want to give towards, you can text the number up on the screen and give to one of those options. And then one of the things that we're doing right now, throughout the year, we have three or four times throughout the year where we have special offerings that we take as a part of our larger organization, the United Pentecostal Church International. One of those is Mother's Memorial. And before I try to butcher and say all the things that they do, we got a quick video that we're going to share. And if you are spurred or touched by this video and you want to donate, you can text or put that in if you do an email or send it in, just note MM or Mother's Memorial. So God bless. We're going to play a quick video.
Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. But what does that look like when you can't see that far ahead? It looks like a young girl at war in her own home, fighting against the darkness she feels inside. She can't see what God sees. She can't see the hope ahead. With support from programs like Haven of Hope, supporting nearly 100 girls in just a few short years, hope isn't far away. It looks like a young adult starting a new chapter, picking up the pieces of a broken past and moving forward. Through the support of Urshan Graduate School, she deepens her commitment to the ministry God is calling her to. The vision of her future becomes more clear. As one season fades into the next, ministry becomes the focus of her life. With support for launch training events, training ministers around North America, she becomes equipped for God's mission for her life. And even through life's valleys, Mother's Memorial is there to help through the emergency fund. Because of the support she has been given in her life, she gives back, writing cards to missionary children, and funding scholarships for foreign students. Mother's Memorial works tirelessly to ensure that people across the globe reach the potential that God has envisioned for them. Through your ongoing support of all these ministries, you can make an eternal difference. For For more information, visit ladiesministries.com.
Thank you. And if you'd like to give, once again, you can give it with one of the three options we've provided, and you can mention Mother's Memorial to that offering. You can also go onto the website that they just mentioned in the video and look that up, Mother's Memorial, and see what all they do. So with that said, we got an exciting week coming. I know that sounds kind of counterproductive. We say exciting, but everybody's kind of still at home, right? But there's some still opportunities. This Wednesday, we're still having online services. We encourage you to join us, share it with a friend, but come Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, for an online service here at Calvary Gospel Church. And then also on Thursday night, we've been having a movie night on Thursday nights where you come into the parking lot, you stay in your car, you follow all the correct protocol that we're required to by the state government and CDC. But we play a movie on a big screen. And this week we're going to be playing Facing the Giants. If you've seen it, you'll know it's an awesome movie. If you haven't seen it, I encourage you to come watch the video. Get out of your house, get in your car, watch the video in the parking lot from the comfort of your car. I would encourage you, maybe bring your own popcorn or candy if you want to, because there's nothing here. Also, we cannot open the building for restroom facilities, so go before you come. The last announcement we have is for the is something that we've started doing just this week, and I want to really bring it forward here on Mother's Day because the focus is really on ladies today. But This past week, on Tuesday and on Friday, there were two ladies' devotionals that were shared on the CGC Facebook page, and they're called Heart to Heart, and they're being started and promoted by our ladies' ministry here at Calvary Gospel Church. It's a Heart to Heart devotional, and there's going to be two every week, and you can look for them to drop on Facebook, on the church CGC Facebook page every Tuesday and every Friday. Now, I don't want to steal from what we're doing for the ladies here, but there's men ones that are going to be dropping Mondays and Thursdays. But ladies, go check out these devotionals. My wife and I are fortunate. We get to see them before they drop, and there's some really good ones there. And the ladies' ministry is they're going to start out with a small team, and they're gradually getting more and more of the ladies and elders in this church involved to give you some really good devotionals. I encourage you. They're somewhere between 5 and 12 minutes. They're not very long, and they're really encouraging. So think on those, pray on those, and meditate on those. So this morning, for Mother's Day, if you've been coming to Calvary Gospel Church for a while, a lot of times we have mothers up here. We might have the pastor's wife, and we might have other ladies, and they'll speak, and they'll give their story, and they'll honor each other. They'll honor mothers on Mother's Day. But I really wanted to do something different this year. I wanted us men to stand up and be the voice, be the focal point of honoring mothers, and doing that in a good way. And so when my wife and I were talking with Pastor Roy and we were talking about different options to speak for Mother's Day, I told Pastor Roy that I said, I really want a man. And my wife and I had been talking about it. And we really, really felt led to have Brother Thompson speak this morning. And the reason we did is not because they're our neighbors, but they are, but because we really respect you, Brother Thompson, and most importantly, Sister Thompson, we respect you as a woman and a mother. And even though you're not speaking, this is our opportunity to hear from your husband. And so, Brother Thompson, please come, share with us, encourage us, challenge us.
Well, thank you, Pastor Sandin. Let me just start by saying hello to our church family. We miss you. And it's good to be here this morning. It's also a little eerie and a little bit sad, but we know that wherever you are, God's going to bless you. And this is just like it is back in the beginning, in the early church, meeting from house to house. And I'd like to preface this. I hear some people complaining about this social distancing and quarantine. Stop your whining, because I'm living my best life now. I mean, I'm locked up every day with my best friend and can't leave the house. I mean, don't ruin that for me. I'm loving this. This is a good thing for me. And I appreciate our pastoral leadership. There's no place that I would rather raise a family, raise children, and attend church in Calvary Gospel Church. So a shout out to Pastor Grant, our pastoral staff, and all they have done during this difficult time. This is my first time being here, but comfort and safety of our home, and we know that the technology they've they've put a lot of effort and thought into this, and I appreciate all the work they've done to make this possible. All those of you that have came and are sacrificing to lead us in worship, doing such a fantastic job, because it's a little different singing to an empty house, I'm sure, as it is speaking to an empty house. But they're doing a great job. I also know, if I remember right, if you're playing a guessing game like me, okay, which way is the pulpit facing? Because it doesn't look like it used to. And where in the world, it's kind of like Where's Waldo, where's the sign person? Where's the deaf ministry sitting? Because they're not sitting where they used to. And I was wrong. My wife and I were guests. Now, we did pay attention to the preaching, too. But I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to let you keep guessing, and someday maybe you'll figure that out. But unless they've changed it this week, I know that I can step over like this, and I can probably pat Sister Amy on the back and say, you're doing a fantastic job. Keep it up. Unless they moved her this week. Such an honor to be here. When Pastor Sandin first asked me, I was so honored, so excited to be able to be here. And then he walked away, and I went in the house, and I was like, okay, this is scary, because I don't know anything about being a mom. I have, like, zero experience as a mother. But then I thought about it, and I said, but I have been privileged to have a front row seat to some of the best. And so that's what I'm going to talk to you about this morning. The Bible says, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22, that whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. It does not say that about whoso finds a husband. Now, I personally believe that to be true, but it does say that about a wife. There is something special about a woman, and especially about a woman of God. And so I'm going to speak to you this morning for just a little while about the perfect woman. The perfect woman. Now, whose definition are we going to use? Because I have a definition of what the perfect woman embodies. In fact, she tied my bow tie this morning. And I'm sure Pastor Sandin has a vision, an idea of what the perfect woman looks like. And I don't know if she tied your tie this morning or not. I'm guessing that a lot of our things on our list are going to be similar, but some things might be different. I mean, I love that my wife has a sense of humor. But I decided to go with God's definition of the perfect woman. And we find this in Proverbs chapter 31, beginning at verse 10. Interesting thing, Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31, are literally the ABCs of a godly woman. I don't know if you know this or not, but it's actually an acrostic. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Verse 10 starts with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and each verse, all the way up to verse 31, is in succession, in order, of the Hebrew letters in the Hebrew alphabet. It is literally the ABCs of a godly woman. And you cannot convince me that's a coincidence. God put that in there on purpose. In fact, in my studies, I found that this is literally, this portion of scripture we're going to go over is literally the original home economics class. That ancient Hebrew women, this is what they would teach their young ladies in school. So we're just going to go back in time. And I'm not going to go through and read all this because I know I have a dopey, boring-sounding voice and I put you all to sleep. So what I've done is I just sat down and I looked at this verse by verse. And I encourage you to do this. I looked at each verse and I just wrote down the first word that came to my mind. How can I condense this verse into one word? And I encourage you to do that this week. Pastor's been talking about how we should be reading a chapter of Proverbs, and it's good stuff, but I know I'm not your pastor, but I am here under his authority, so this is your homework this week, Proverbs chapter 31, just one day, go through and just write down one word. Now, your words might be different than my words, and that's fine. But verse number 10, a woman is a treasure. Verse number 11, a woman is trustworthy. Verse number 12, she's dependable. Verse number 13, she's industrious. Verse number 14, she's diligent. Verse number 15, she's provisionary. Verse number 16, she's intelligent. Let me just stop here and camp out. Look at verse 16. She considereth a field and buyeth it. How many men right now would you give your wife, would you put that kind of trust and confidence in your wife that she could go out, look at a piece of land and buy it? Man, unless it's a good piece of hunting ground, we might have issues with that, most of us. But this is a godly woman, okay? See, there's an intelligence there. There's a trustworthiness there. She's intelligent. Verse number 17. She's capable. Verse number 18. She's confident. Verse number 19. She's competent. Verse number 20. She's generous. I tell you this, there's few things that make me look at my wife and say, oh, I love that woman, more than when she'll turn to me during church or whatever and just say, you know what? I just feel that we need to give. We need to give to this missionary. We need to give to this circumstance. I love that. A generous woman. Verse 21. She's a planner. Verse number 22. She's looking good. I had to slip that in there someplace. Verse 23, she's respectable. Verse number 24, she's quality. Verse number 25, she's dignified. Verse number 26, she's wise. Verse number 27, she's a leader. Verse number 28, she's beloved. Verse number 29, she's excellent. Verse number 30, she's holy. And verse number 31, last but not least, she leaves a legacy. Interesting thing, when I finished this, I sat there and I looked at my list. You know what I thought, Pastor Sandin? That's what I want to be. All those words I wrote down, that's what, if I ever get to be the man that I want to be, that I hope to be, that describes me. Fact of the matter is, I took a look at the list again, and I said, you know what? This list reads like the resume of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's trustworthy, he's competent, he's wise, he's dignified, he's respectable, he's beloved, he's holy, he's leaving a legacy. And I was like, God, what are you trying to tell me here? Should we be surprised by this? I think not. Genesis chapter 2, verses 24 says that a man should leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. So when we start a family, there is a unity there. That the success of both is intertwined one with the other. I'm a better man because of my wife. We have better kids because we work together. Hopefully, she's a better woman because I support her. If you go back to verses 11 and 12, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. What's the cause and effect there? Does she trust him because she's got her back, or does she got his back because he trusts her? It's cyclical. Verse 23 is interesting, that a respectable husband adds to her virtuousness. That's not really anything the woman does, but that's what the man does to support his woman. Verse 28 says that a man blesses and praises her. Let me just get on my soapbox for just a minute. It's always bothered me. Sometimes women do it too, but sometimes you'll hear men talk about how stupid their wife is. I've always felt that you can always tell exactly how intelligent a woman is by who she marries. And that's why I am not ashamed to tell you this morning that my wife is a genius. No doubt about it. Okay, that may be the one fault in her life, is me. But other than that, she's a genius. You don't hear me talking bad about her. You can't belittle someone. You can't push them down without getting smaller yourself. And you can't pick somebody up and elevate them without getting bigger yourself. We need to be in the encouragement business. I've heard some people say that, that a wife shouldn't have a bigger degree than her husband. I don't know where you get that nonsense from. I'm glad I got a smart wife. In fact, it's kind of funny sometimes, because just before this broke up, my wife is a high school math teacher, as most of you know. She's the brains of the family. But she's going back to school. She teaches some dual credit, and she just finished a class on, I can't remember what it was now. It was algebra, abstract algebra. That's right, and it's coming to me. Abstract algebra. I don't know what that is. A couple of ladies in the church asked her, so she was talking to a couple of ladies in the church, said, so is this something your husband can help you with? She told me that, and we had a good laugh. I don't even know what that is, okay? I can admit it. My wife is smarter than me, all right? Like Bishop would say, it doesn't matter what chair I sit in, I'm still ahead of the table. I can exalt my wife and lift her up. She's the brains of the family. We can have a leadership. We can have a touch twice event. People come up to me and say, well, what do I need to do? I don't know. Ask the chick in charge. I'm just here to move tables where she needs tables because she's intelligent. Because I've got her back and she's got my back. We're a team. So, gentlemen, when we read through that, if you caught yourself thinking, I want to be married to that woman, then you need to become that man. Don't be the lid on your wife's life. If Proverbs 31 gives us the perfect woman, where do we find her counterpart? Now, I think the worst example of womanhood or motherhood that we find in Scripture would be the infamous Jezebel. If you want to compare apples to apples to Jezebel, the best example I can come up with was Queen Esther. They lived at the same time. They're both queens. They had similar roles. We got the good and we've got the bad. We have the selfless and we have the selfish. We have the giving and we have the taking. one of the things I found in my wife that blesses me the most, and I'll be honest with you, I was too immature and too selfish to see it for years, was her selflessness. They say that true love is being able to share the center of your cinnamon roll. And my wife would model this so much. You know, we'd be eating dinner and like, man, those were good cinnamon rolls. My wife would look at forlornly at the middle of hers and say, you know what, I'm full. Why don't you have mine? And I was so self-centered, I was like, really? Thanks. Well, this is really good. And I'd be talking with my mouth full. I learned, though. I caught her doing that time and time again. And I've learned. Now our kids laugh at us from time to time because some of our, I don't want to say quote marks here, fights, are about who's going to bless the other person. A couple weeks ago, we were, I made mahi-mahi on the grill. And it was, I don't mean to brag, but it was amazing. And my wife took like one piece and I had like four pieces. And my wife was like, man, this is the best fish I've ever had. Wow, this is just amazing. And I'm looking at all this I've got. I was like, all right, time to pull Stephanie. So I just looked out the window and I was like, you know, I love that bird. We feed birds. They're like, oh, I love that bird. That's beautiful. And she's like, really? Oh, that is cool. So I take a piece of my fish and I just pick it up, I slide it over, put it on her plate, and I go back to eating. She turns around and she goes back and she's like, turns around, she looks and she's like, oh, I am so happy right now. I thought I was almost out. I thought that's all I had left. I got a whole nother piece here. I am so happy. Sarah like burst out laughing, and that's when she realized what I'd done. But I have learned to catch some of that selflessness and give it back to her and honor her. But I don't think you can talk about Esther and Jezebel without looking at their husbands. Maybe that's why Jezebel was the way Jezebel was. See, Ahab was spineless, he was selfish, he was pouty, and he was bitter. Now, I'm not going to say Ahasuerus, Esther's husband, was perfect. He had some issues. The biggest thing I see with Ahasuerus, when he was wrong, he admitted it, and he made it right. And men, we're going to be wrong, but when we're wrong, we need to make it right. When someone came after his wife, when Haman came after his wife, Ahasuerus saw to it that he was hung on his own gallows. Said, you don't mess with my wife. So from there, let's real quickly, let's change gears a little bit. That's what the perfect woman looks like. So now I want to shift gears. That's a woman. Now this is Mother's Day. So I want to just change gears a little bit and talk about the four rules of perfect parenting. Four rules of perfect parenting. Now, I came up with this myself. This is just my experience. And there could be more, but this is all I could come up with. So, four rules of perfect parenting. You ready for this? You're going to want to get a pen and paper, and you're going to want this to write this down because this will change your life. The four rules of perfect parenting. Rule number one, there is no such thing as perfect parents. Now, I spent all that time going over what a perfect woman should look like, but the fact of the matter is, there aren't any. My wife is as close as there is, but even she's flawed. I'm not sure what that flaw is, but I know it's there because she's always apologizing for stuff. The other day, she went to Menards and was going to pick up a bird feeder, and they were sold out. So she comes home, and what'd she say? I am so sorry they didn't have any. Like, why is that your fault? Why are you apologizing? You didn't do it. I think the biggest flaw I've seen is My wife talks really fast. You probably know that. But her brain runs even faster than her mouth does. And so sometimes I call it mental whiplash. Her brain is moving so fast, she will change topics mid-sentence. In fact, this morning I was getting ready, and she did it. I'm getting ready, and this is what she says to me. I don't know why. I love you. Like, I don't know why either. She's like, I'm sorry, I just changed topics mid-sentence. Like, you know, you do it all the time. Because you're so smart and your brain is moving so fast that it... So anyways, but other than that, my wife is just about as perfect as can be. But there is no such thing as perfect parenting. Let's face it, if parenting was easy, it wouldn't start with something called labor. And those little guys, they don't exactly come with instruction manuals either. I don't know if I'm the only one who's ever walked home with a kid and said, I don't really know what I'm doing here. This is all new to me. The good news is that kids are remarkably resilient. I mean, unless you're like mean or abusive or negligent, you know, you forget to feed them for a week, they survive. Let me just stop here and say, Mr. Repka, I'm not sure what your long-term intentions are with my daughter, but I'm not going to entertain any ideas of rings or anything until she can learn to feed her fish and keep them awake. I'm just saying, or keep them alive. I'm just saying. So that's good training right there. But kids bounce back. Now, years ago, my wife was in a grocery store and turned around for a second. I don't know, this is back when lettuce grew on heads and not in bags. And now she was squeezing a head of lettuce or whatever. And Alicia escaped. She got out of the chair, stood up, and did a flying swan dive onto the floor at Zinke's Supermarket. Hit the ground or hit the floor with a sickening thud that echoed throughout the store. And everyone in the store turned around, mouths agape. Now, that's about the worst thing you can do as a parent right there. It doesn't get much worse than that. I mean, it's almost as bad as vaccinating your kids. Or not vaccinating your kids. Whichever is bad. I'm sorry, I don't get out much anymore. Literally. See, parenting is like golfing. You may have a perfect swing in the pro shop, but that's not going to keep you out of the water once you're out on the course. Even Tom Nelson, and I hear he's a great golfer, but even Tom Nelson has to play out of a sand trap once in a while. And you can be extra careful, pray super hard, memorize all of Dr. Dobson's books. But things aren't always going to go according to plan. I think it's safe for all parents that we'd like to have a few mulligans. That's where we just, you know, we shank it off into the woods. It's like, you know what, I think I'm going to play that one again. Forget Dad ever said that. You know, forget Mom. You know, forget Mom ever did that. We're not going to go there. We're just going to start over. Or at least pull a Hezzy, as in Hezekiah. Say, God, how about if today we just make the sun go backwards and we just play this day over? Because the first try didn't go at all like I had envisioned. We have that. So as parents, don't get down on yourself when things don't go according to plan. Rule number two, there are no perfect children. Only perfect grandchildren. At least that's what they tell me. I don't know anything about that yet. Hint, hint. But that's what they say. See, kids are born mischievous and sneaky. You know, from the very beginning, they wait until your mid-diaper change. Then they soak you. And they laugh about it. Ain't nobody else in the world can do that to Dad. I remember when Rebecca was young, she must have been post-first surgery, and she's going to live, and we're going to live happily ever after. I'm doing all those stupid dad things, you know. Well, I've got her like this. Oh, your dad's the girl. You're so precious. And what's she do? Blech. Threw up right into my open mouth. Yeah, that's gross. That's still gross. But, that's what kids do. There are no perfect kids, okay? So don't get down on yourself, parents, mothers, because things don't look like you think they do. Because rule number three is there's no perfect model. Every family is different. Every parenting dynamic is different. First of all, let me start here. Parenting is a team sport. If you have more than two kids, you realize that real quick. Because if you have two, you can play man-to-man. But once you have number three, you have to play a zone. Am I right? So my hat is off to single parents. I'm not sure how you do it. But even then, I encourage you, make the best of it for your children's sake. My wife had a couple of ladies that would come in for parent-teacher conferences. And she noticed the girls, a couple of girls were kind of friends. But these ladies would come in, and she's like, okay, why are these two ladies coming in together? And couldn't figure it out. And finally, she figured it out and realized that it was mom and stepmom were going to parent-teacher conferences together. Whatever differences they had, they put them aside for the children's sake. I tell you what, that challenges me. That models what I'm talking about right here. See, different motherhood has different looks because kids have different personalities, different temperaments. When our kids were little, my wife would give them the look. Now, you know the look. If they didn't listen to the look, there was the finger snap. One of our kids, if I were to raise my voice, it would have scarred her for life. And then there was me. Every whooping I got as a kid, I earned. I mean, except for the ones where I got blamed for what my brother did. But the truth is, for every time I got blamed for that, or may have got blamed for that, there's two or three that I did that I didn't get caught on. See, and any success I've had in my life is due, at least in part, to the discipline instilled in me as a child. So thanks, Mom and Dad, if you're listening to this. And sorry about all those goof-ups, but I learned from them, mostly. So parents, part of all this is don't judge. Because parents over here, they may be doing things different than you are. We're doing the best we can with the information that we have. I know some people looked at when our kids were young and my wife decided to homeschool, some people were like, oh, your kids will never get caught up. Then when our life circumstances changed and our kids went to public school, other people were like, oh, your kids are going to be scarred for life. They'll never make it up. You know what? They turned out pretty good. Let's not be judgmental. Great motherhood isn't always biological either. There's a lot of examples here at Calvary Gospel Church of people I know who have adopted, and there's a love bond that is there that is just as strong as a parents that gave birth. In fact, sometimes not even that. Sister Rager, Sister Jan Rager has built a very strong bond with my family. And I'm not sure why, but we've kind of hit it off. But the fact of the matter is, Sister Rager, although she's, to my knowledge, has not had any children of her own, she has raised half the men in the church, to at least some degree. In fact, last fall, I was teaching a night school class, and I would get here late on Wednesday, so I came in late on a Wednesday night, and after service, Sister Rager met me right back here by the Sambo. She comes over, and she's like, "Mr. Thompson, I noticed you were a little late getting to church tonight. I'm a little worried about you." Then she kind of laughed and said, "I'm just kidding." So, "No, you don't need to kid. You don't need to apologize. I appreciate that." And so, Mom, if you're listening to this, even though I live an hour, hour and a half away now, I've still got some other mothers looking out for me and keeping me in the straight and narrow. So you don't need to worry. And God bless Sister Rager and those like her who have that loving motherhood and have made a difference to many. Rule number four. I'm going to get out of here. Rule number four, quick recap. Number one, there is no such thing as perfect parents. Rule number two, there are no perfect children. Rule number three, there's no perfect model. And let me throw this out there. The only perfect parents haven't had kids yet. I remember being that guy. "Oh, yeah, I wouldn't do that. I don't know what they're thinking." When you get kids of your own, it's like, "Yeah, I was so stupid. I didn't know anything." So, but rule number four is, in spite of all that dysfunction and all these different ideas, God is perfectly gracious. God is perfectly wise. God fills in where we mess up. We need his help. And he desires to help us. God bless you. And happy Mother's Day.
Thank you, Brother Ben. I appreciate your words to us men. I appreciate the challenge. I know if you're sitting at home, you're probably thinking, "This is a Mother's Day service. Why is Brother Ben talking to men?" Men, that's a big responsibility. Our wives, our families, let's be there. Let's encourage them. We would do you a disservice if we just, moms, if we just patted you on the back this morning and said, "Good job," and left. If we just said, "Well, this is good," and we had some worship and all that, and, you know, like normally, if we gave you some flowers and some cupcakes. So today I want to issue you a challenge. You might be sitting on your couch in your pajamas, eating your breakfast cereal a little bit late, and you might be thinking, "Oh man, this is going to be difficult." But I'll tell you, it's going to be super easy, barely an inconvenience. I look at Matthew 6:24, and Jesus, it says, "Don't worry about about your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear." And then it goes on for the following verses. Just the birds are an example. God feeds them. They don't worry about what they're going to eat. The flowers, an example. They grow. God, and they're beautiful. God gives them their beauty. They don't have to worry about what they're going to wear. And the grass, they get water. They drink because God feeds them. And then in verse 31, it says, "So don't worry about what you were going to eat and what you're going to drink and what you're going to wear. Worldly people focus on these things, and God knows you need them." God knows you need them. They're important. But don't worry about them. Instead, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things, what you eat, what you should drink, what you will wear, will be added to you. So moms, I just want to tell you, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink and what you're going to wear. Yeah, those things are important. But in verse 33, it says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Worrying about tomorrow is, I think, something that's innate with a mom. Maybe I'm just speaking for my family. You listed off that list. Thank you, Brother Ben. That's challenging for me, and it's also reaffirming how great of a wife I have and mom she is. But I think as a mom, me and my wife joke, we have some kids, and we joke and say, wow, half of our time is spent planning the meal, making the meal, having the meal, and cleaning up the meal. And then by the time you're done with that, you have an hour till the next meal, you know, and you're just like, wow, it's a lot of work. And what you do with that hour is probably worry about what they're going to wear and change the outfit they had because they got messy while they were eating the second meal. And so it's really interesting that Jesus is talking about what you will eat, what you should drink, what you should wear. And I really feel like God was speaking to me and saying, this is for moms this morning. And I just want to encourage you, moms, worrying about tomorrow is not what makes you a mother. Worrying about what food or drink or what you wear does not make you a mother. But loving your children and your husband and your community out of a love that comes from God's love that's in your life is what makes you a great mother. I want to say it again. Worrying about tomorrow is not what makes you a mother. But loving your children, your husband, and your community out of a love that's there because of your relationship with God, that's what makes you a mother. I know there's moms in all different stages and phases and roles and responsibilities. You might be pregnant with a tiny life, a life inside of you. You might be in the midst of the early years where the kids are little and crazy. You might be raising children alone or without support. Maybe you have teenagers who are making good or bad decisions. Maybe you're moms of adults who have not chosen to live for God or have grown apart from you. Maybe you're not an official or legal mom like you referred to as Sister Rager, but you're acting as a mom role in another person's life. Whatever your situation, you're a mom. And as a mom, at times, as we get focused on all this food, drink, and wear, as a mom at times, you start to feel like I'm a failure or I'm failing. You start to feel like I can't make it. It's my fault that my kids are going to turn out horrible, like Brother Thompson said. I will never be enough. Once again, we know that. You're not perfect. Or I'm ruining my kids. And that's what goes through your mind. But my challenge to you this morning is to seek him first. In those moments where those feelings come up, when everything hits the fan and you just want to toss the towel, or you call your husband with this complaint, I just want to give up. Still call your husband. Husbands, we should listen. But in those moments, those small moments every day, my challenge to you is to seek him first. Before you try your hobbies. Before you try to get control of every part of your life. Before you organize every closet or check everything off your to-do list. Before you use ministry as a distraction or drown yourselves in movies and TV and Netflix. Before you listen to more podcasts and read more articles and books. Before you spend time scrolling your Facebook and Twitter and Snapchat. I'm saying, can you seek God first? In that moment, we turn to these things, and all the while, God is being put as plan B. And he's saying, I can take care of those things for you, but put me first. Call out to me first. And I want to just take a small moment here to address a specific situation. This is Mother's Day, and maybe your past includes mother figures that were not around or did not treat you in a godly or perfect way. Maybe they didn't check off a bunch of items on Brother Thompson's list. Maybe they checked off no items. Maybe you were deeply wounded by a mother figure in your life. I challenge you. Take it to Jesus. There's moments I'm sure you feel like saying, I hate Mother's Day. My mom was not loving and caring, and I don't want to honor her. Take it to Jesus. He'll hear it. He'll be there for you. Tell him in great detail what you're feeling and why you're feeling that way. And then ask him to take those feelings. Just give it to him. God, this is how I feel. Sometimes we don't do that because we're afraid that God's going to think bad of us. But he wants the truth out of us. So for all you moms out there, let's seek first before you try something else. And I'll tell you, if you seek God first, your children will seek God first. Seek God first so your children will not be stuck in the same negative cycle that we find ourselves in at times. 1 Peter 5:6-7 says, humble yourself under God's hands, meaning put what you want aside into to the back burner, and cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. But how do I do this? This doesn't make sense. How do I seek first? Oh yeah, I'll just cast my cares on God. Well, guess what? Paul in Philippians, remember I said it's super easy, barely an inconvenience. Paul in Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7 says, don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. So we just got to take it to him in prayer. You don't got to wait till your morning prayer, to your weekly prayer, to your service prayer, to the prayer meeting. In that moment with the kids screaming and running around you, or with your youth walking out and slamming the door, or maybe your kids aren't even around and you're a mother and you're seeing what's happening on and you start to have these feelings. In that moment, cry out to God and say, God, I'm coming to you first before I go distract myself. I think we all want to do this, men, women. And I think we actually try to do it at times, but I'm challenging you to do it first. Not in one big moment at camp or a special service, not waiting for a prayer meeting, but in those small daily moments when you need love and grace and forgiveness and validation before you try anything else. And ladies, when you do it and God meets you there, because he will, pick up a phone and call a friend and share your testimony. Moms, you're awesome. Brother Irv Manley used to tell me, he's like, if men had to give birth to babies, there would not be society. I don't know how you do what you do. There's moms in the building right now. My hat's off to you. You are so awesome. Your role is so essential. I love you. This church loves you. Your family loves you. And most importantly, God loves you. So I just want to close. I just want to close with a quick prayer. And you could turn off your video and run outside and play in the rain or whatever it is. But I just want to pray for you moms this morning. God, I pray that you speak into the hearts of moms right now. God, let them hear your voice. Let them know what you think about them right now. God, encourage them and comfort them. Love them, God. Forgive them. Give them grace. Be with them and let them feel all these things in you. God, help moms to turn to you first. It's not our natural part of our flesh that wants to turn to you first. Our flesh wants to go do something else. God, spur in them a desire to turn to you first. And when they do, God, meet them there. Your word says to taste and see that you are good. God, I'm calling your word right now. I'm proclaiming it, God, that when mothers taste, when they try this out, God, that you will meet them there and show that you are good and that you are there in all these moments of their lives. Meet them there. God, show them who you are and who they are to you. God, I pray a blessing over all the mothers in this church. Whatever their role is, whatever their situation, whatever their model, God, let them hear from you today. In Jesus' name. We thank you for tuning in with us this morning. And mothers, I hope you have a blessed day. I hope you take this challenge and go do it. And husbands, you shouldn't have to be told this because it's Mother's Day. Right, Ben? We should be doing this all days. But do something special for your wives today. God bless you. Thank you for coming.